found a peace that passes all understanding. I found a river where the healing waters flow. I found a joy that only comes from knowing Jesus. I found the lover
Thank you, Lord. Well, it's just thinking about those good songs there about healing. Brother Smith was talking about healing this morning in Bible study. We know that healing, God is the one that really can bring healing. He can bring healing to any situation that we may have, you know. Of course, we think about it naturally, our natural bodies being healed, but just in our mind, and then healing with our relationship, you know, with people. You know, sometimes you thing run afoul and seem like for whatever reason you just relationship is not good. So sometimes God can heal. He can heal relationships. You know, He can heal. It can bring peace. And you know, you talk to people. You know, if you anyway, I've got a big family, so they talk to me a lot. I'm only man left. You know, in the boat. I'm young, but to them, I am. They're old folks. You think I'm old? You think? But anyway, and sometimes you can say things to help situation. You can say words sometimes that will help. Jesus, He spoke peace. You know, his words when He walked on this earth and talked to people. He just with His words, just the things He said, you know, brought peace to situation. And I think we among a people that we encourage that. We want that. You know, we want to be a people that be just coming in this place. You know, I was thinking this is a place we want that. We want God's peace. We want when you walk in here that you can feel the peace of God on your life. And we want you to feel that. We encourage it because we want God to His presence to be in such a way that you can come in here and begin to feel peace. No matter what the situation was when you left from home or wherever you left from, you know, that you can walk in here and feel peace. And that's what I encourage. I think we are serving that kind of God that will help us if we come in His house. You know, we can expect, you know, that God going to meet us here and we can cause healing. You know, however it takes. It may be in song. It may be in word. It may be in the message. It may be in the teachings or whatever go on. But whatever it takes, you know, to bring about just a spirit of healing. You know, I feel that today that, you know, God can heal us. He can help us. You know, he has that kind of power. We know that. You know, we know that God has that power. You know, we was talking about God reigning. He does reign. You know, but it's, you know, I might not let Him reign in my life, but God still reigns. You know, He still reigns. And so what I need to do, I was listening to Brother Smith reading about the Jews and the Gentiles. And, you know, we as Gentiles can't get haughty about anything, you know. We were just drafted in. You know, in with, you know, God had a people that a natural group that was His people. And we was blessed by His mercy. We were blessed to be drafted in. So, you know, we can't get haughty. We can't get puffed up. We can't feel like, look at us, you know, look what we have. We can't have that kind of spirit at all. Because we by the mercy of God, we were just drafted in. You know, so I want to hang on to that kind of attitude and spirit that, you know, God, like He said, you walk by somebody that may be having a bad day or doing bad, you know, you said, you know, that could be me, you know, just look at it, that could be me. And so we live in that kind of world, but we are serving God. We are submitting our lives to God to allow Him to work with us. You know, we are people that are, I used to be in a group that called them willing workers. If you're willing, you know, the Bible talks about people being willing. If you're willing, then you can eat the good of the land, the willing and obedient, you know, a little more than willing, but you got to be obedient as well to eat the good of the land. And it's, you know, God can bring about all of that, you know, good things that happen to us. You know, God does all of that. You can do in this world. You can work and labor and possess and do whatever you do. And you know, you can have, like it talks about having pockets with holes in it. You know, you can make a lot of things and do a lot of things, but it won't benefit. You know, it's like putting money in your pockets and you've got holes in it, and next thing you know, you don't have any. So to me, the difference in that is living a life to where God is, when you start beginning to give God your life, you know, you're talking about investing. You know, when you begin to give God your life, then it's not like what pockets with holes in it. You know, the things that you do, no matter what they are, you know, begin to lift God up in your life, then your life become blessed. That's what I'm saying. Your life become blessed because God is blessing it. That's the healing powers of God, you know, his blessings on your life. And I can see that. I've lived long enough to see that. You know, you have to submit to it, though. You can't just, it's not like automatic, you know. You have to get up with God, you know, on your mind, you know. Give him some of your time. Submit some time to God, you know. Give him some of your day. He may not want all 24 hours of it, but give him some of your day, some of your time. And I feel like when you do that, you know, you align God to giving God some time to work, you know, in your life. So I'm just thankful today that we're talking about these things, healings, you know, because it only comes from God. You know, something you can't, you know, the doctors give it up, say, I've gone for it, I can go with this. We've done all we can do for you. So anyway, in this world, you know, people can help you to their limits, you know, they reach their limits. But we don't have to stop there, you know, because we're serving a God that doesn't have limits, you know. No matter what it is, you know, he doesn't have limits. So anyway, that's why we enjoy, you know, talking about the good things of God, because it lifts you up when you're down. You know, I was thinking, I was telling my wife, I feel for Brother Smith. You know, we got a lot of work to do getting ready for this youth meeting, and I feel for him, you know, all the things. You know, you can get overwhelmed. So pray for Brother Smith, because it's a lot to be accomplished, and you know, you can get overwhelmed with things in this life and burdens and things going on. So anyway, let's ask God to help us. You know, that's what we lean on heavily is God's assistance and his help. And he's willing to help us, you know, if we begin to call on him and get before him for things. So anyway, it's good to be out here today and begin to lift up his name and think about his goodness. You know, and it's encouraging. You know, like I say, that's where we get encouragement. We get it from the things of God. We get it from God's people, you know, being around people that are giving God a life and trying to do better, trying to not so much do it themselves, but they're leaning on God. So anyway, it's good to be here. I see Brother Mike's mother, Sister Jenny. Good to have her here today. God bless you, Sister Jenny. We went, Brother Mike, I was with him one time. We was going to Glenwood to a funeral. And she said, I'm going by to see my mother. So, okay. So I was blessed to go by with him and visit with her when she was in Hot Springs. So anyway, it's good to have you here, Sister Jenny. And Osmonique got a friend with him today, right? He's been here before, though. Is that right? Other grandson, okay. That other grandson, okay. We got you. All right, Brother Terrence, I remember it, Brother Terrence. Renata. They got somebody else with them too, don't you? Nephew. All right. Good. All right. All right. Don't want to miss anybody now. Good to be here. I'm glad that we're all here in the house. I see Brother Larry's not here, so he's not. Oh, God. Remember Brother Larry. All his job and a test. Brother McGowan said he wasn't feeling too good. Remember him? Any other? I know Brother Smith's mother. Keep praying for her. Pray that God will help him, touch him. Anybody else? Sister Ann's dad. Remember Sister Ann Thompson's dad. Pray for him. All right. Any other? Sister Julie. remember that. All right, Dad. Mom and Dad. All right. Sister Ann. All right, remember Brother Paul, having to work. All right, anybody else? Any other? So let's remember these needs, and I guess ushers, if y'all come up. We'll go ahead and stand and take these needs to the Lord. Ask that God will help his people, bless them. Lord, we thank you, oh God, for this time, Lord, we have. Come before you, O God, and bring our needs. Lord, help each one.
Oh God,
help each one.
You know each one.
Oh Jesus. Sick in our bones. Glory. Glory. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Those that aren't here.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Yes, Lord. Oh.
enjoyed that band song. We've got a good band. Appreciate the band that we have. It's everyone that is serving in these different departments. It takes their help for us to serve you. Say how much I appreciate the brethren that came to help us yesterday in work day, where we got quite a bit accomplished, and where we decided to tackle the snack bar in the gym. We gutted it. We just completely tore out the whole inside, electricity, water, everything. And we're going to redo it and raise the ceiling in it up to a regular 8-foot ceiling, and put new walls and new plumbing and new electric, get it back. And we're putting cabinets in there and countertops. And so, but we're probably, well, no probably to it, we're not going to use the snack bar for the youth meeting. We're going to use the dining room. We'll be open, and we'll serve all of our drinks and ice cream and popcorn and nachos and hot dogs, whatever they're going to have, in the dining room. It'll be open after services on Thursday night and Friday night. Our youth meeting is July the 24th, starting Thursday night at 7 o'clock. If you hadn't been to one of our youth meetings, you better get here early. There won't be a place to sit. There'll probably be 600 young people here, somewhere around that, 500-600, and we'll have services Thursday night at 7, and then Friday morning, I believe it starts at 11, serve breakfast that morning, and then we'll have dinner again at 3 o'clock, and then service again Friday night at 7, and then breakfast again Saturday morning, and service at 11, and we'll probably end around 2 o'clock and have dinner again. And then all of you that are here will be ready to go home and rest, because it'll be a job taking care of that big meeting, and we need everyone that can to help us. We need workers for this meeting. Brother Stewart needs parking lot help. He needs usher help. Brother Painter needs help in the media booth and making copies of DVDs for the meeting. And the band needs help. And then Sister Thompson needs help in the kitchen, cooking all this food for all these people. Brother Daniels needs help in the sanitary department to keep it's a job when that many people are eating and they're throwing away all their plates. And of course we went to styrofoam and plastic, so you start throwing all that away, it fills up trash cans quick. And so we have a big dumpster out back that has to, all that's got to be carried out there and thrown in that dumpster. So he needs help. And he needs help more this year than ever before, because he's not in good health. He's just had an operation. He'll just barely be recovering. So he probably just needs to oversee it. He just needs some people to do the work. He can tell you what to do, just need somebody there to do it. And Sister Inez Watson has got charge of the dining room and the servers. So we need people helping us in that department. And we need to recruit more help. If you're available, please let us know. If you could work in this meeting and you're already not assigned, then let us know. Brother Brett Weiniger is the coordinator. In other words, all these department heads, if they need something, they go to him and tell him, I need this, and then he starts looking for help for them. Brother Brett and Sister Joanne work the gym snack bar, and of course we need help for them too. And then we always, Brother Phil Fisher's in charge of the housekeeping department, making sure that the bathrooms get cleaned, that they get restocked with paper goods, and that the trash in there gets removed. And then we've got people that need to tidy up every night and after every service, just vacuuming the floors and making sure everything's ready for the next service. Same way in the dining room, and since we're going to use the dining room, Sister Inez's heart probably kind of dropped down in her feet when she found out we was going to serve at night, because she tries to get the dining room ready for the next morning's breakfast, and I just messed it up for her. But it's a youth meeting, so we don't have to make anything fancy. They just need a table to sit down at and eat. But we do want to make sure that we have help to clean up, make sure everything's cleaned up. Also, Sister Thompson probably kind of wondered when I mentioned, and the workers in the kitchen, because they were thinking immediately, is that kitchen going to be cleaned up and ready for breakfast the next morning? So we've got to, you know, little adjustments that we have to make, but I think it'd be good for the gym to, well, we just got it under construction, and of course it's not air conditioned, but I think a lot of people would that don't want to, you know, like some of these boys that don't want to go over to the gym, in that hot gym, and play basketball or what have you, it'll be open for that. But I think a lot of people just like to go downstairs and fellowship and be able to buy, you know, something to eat and spend time together. And so we're going to make that available, but there will be the regular curfew, and then we also may need someone to make sure if upstairs, up here, that we've got proper oversight. We don't want kids running and playing in the sanctuary, or any food or drinks up here. And a lot of times we do have some of the guys in the band that jam sometimes after service, and I'm not against that, but we just want to make sure that everything's, you know, supervised, and that there's, you know, that there's no foul play take place. When you get a bunch of kids turned loose, and of course there'll be some of them coming here for their first time. Some of them may not even be in church good, but the church that's bringing them may be trying to win them to church. So, you know, it's our job, along with their chaperones, to try to help keep everything in order. And so, anyway, I'm just making kind of letting you get an overall concept of what all we've got to do, and then appealing for your help and for you to work. There'll be plenty to do. And then we're remodeling the snack bar down there. I want it to be nicer and more available in the future for our own use and for the meetings in the future, and also I want you to pray with me that God will help us with enough finances to air condition that gym. I want to get that gym air conditioned and where it's more utilized, and also there's some problems that, you know, we've got some different, since it's almost, you know, half of it underground, we have some problems with water getting in the building over there, and we're trying to find all of the sources of that problem and get it fixed. So, but I'm asking you to, you know, if you're tight with your money, I'm asking you to loosen up a little bit. Sister Inez, she confessed the other night. Did y'all all catch that? That she was tight. I told you she had money. I've been telling y'all along. But she squeaks a little. In fact, I've almost nicknamed her Squeaky. But I've decided to, you know, not go that far, but anyway, if we can get some of y'all to loosen up a little bit and help us and pray, you know, there may even be areas, there's businesses that close down that sells air conditioners, you know, condensing units, and there's places that are tore down that, you know, so we may be able to find some used equipment that would work over there. While I'm talking about air conditioning, I want to mention how much I appreciate Brother Thompson. I know he's not here today. He's working. And I know why, because he's behind on this time of year. It's so humid outside, you know. I mean, I don't even know if y'all have noticed even your air conditioners. You may have it set on a certain temperature, but it may not feel as good as it normally does because of all this humidity. And so... I know he's behind. He's got, you know, when people don't have air conditioning, they're not happy campers. And he's got several people that are, I know he took time out to come out and charge an air conditioning unit for me this week. And he just had to take time out to do it because he's got an install job where he's installing a air conditioning complete system, and then he's got, you know, and he's got his helpers, his workers working with him to do that, but then he has to pull away and run, try to do all these. In fact, he told me, he said, I told the girl, no new customers. If somebody calls and they are not one of our regular customers, tell them we can't take them. We ain't no way we can do it. We can't take any new calls. Just take care of business on the people that we've got that are relying on us. So he pray for Brother Paul. He needs, you know, this time of year, he's always covered up. So, but in all of what he's doing this week, he still fixed two. We had three air conditioners down. He fixed two of them. And one is the compressor's out. But they've got they found a compressor that will fit in the unit. It's been donated to him, and he's donating it to us. So he takes care of the church air conditioning, and I'm so thankful, appreciative of him and Sister Ann. And so they've been a lifesaver for us in that department. And then I've announced before we've rented a 15-ton portable unit that will be parked outside the building here, and we'll duck it into Wyndham. Brother Mark Boyd's taking care of that and got that set up for us. So we should have adequate air conditioning for the meeting, which is going to be wonderful, but it's going to cost us about $1,200 for 3 days to rent it. So we need money. We need help. And some of you tightwads. So we're just asking you to help out. Now, Brother John, he's liberal with his money. Anytime we need money, Brother John, first one to throw up his hand. So, Sister Inez, watch John do whatever he does. and you know, so John, you leading the way now. I see he's got $200 right now. Praise God. We might just go ahead right here and take up an offering for the meeting. Brother John, you going to give $200? I'll just give $200 to match it. Anybody else want to give something on us? We do need finances. Brother Matthew Durham's going to give $200. Sit her down there. She put up $200. Hallelujah. She's loosening up. Somebody write all this down. Brother John, me, Brother Matthew Durham, Sister Inez Watson. Put that down with an exclamation point. $200 for the youth meeting. Brother Durham's going to give $200. Brother Tally giving $200. All right. Sister McPhee, you giving an extra, another $200? All right. She's still working. All right. Praise God. Thank the Lord for that. Brother Daniel's going to give $200. Brother Crafton giving $200. Brother Shelby's got his hand up. Thank God for Brother Shelby. You know, I saw him walk in without Brother Johnson today, going to get him. I appreciate that, Brother Shelby. I thought when Brother Johnson's trouble and him being gone, I thought, what's going to happen to Brother Shelby? But he's already showing up in making up the breach of the, I mean, you know, where it's been. Brother Dotson's going to give $200. Praise the Lord. Sister Dodge is giving $100. $200. Okay, you just hold up one, hold up two fingers. I don't want to miss out on your blessings. All right. $200, Brother McGowan. Brother Paul David's going to give $200. Praise God, the Lord's in this, isn't he? Helping us out. Who else wants to? How about 100? Who wants to give 100? Is there some 100? Sister Renata. Now we're starting to get her money. When people start putting their money in this, they're pretty well getting hooked in, you know, because they'll keep coming back because they'll think, I'm invested in this deal. I've got an investment here. That's what God likes to see, that you invest in his kingdom. All right, 100, Sister Renata, the first $100 giver. Hand going up. Who else wants to give 100? Sister Linda Fisher, 100. All right. Who am I missing? Brother Mark Boyd's going to give 200. Put that down. I don't want to cut you off short. Yeah, we'll get the ushers to come get your money. They won't mind. Elizabeth, she's bringing hers right now. Bring it on up here. Yeah. She likes giving money. She likes giving away money. That's good. They put that in her little heart and her spirit. By the time she's gets old enough to have her own money, she'll be willing to give some of it. Amen. And Sister Inez will be, she'll be old then. But they'll remember. They'll say, I remember. Brother John and Sister Inez, how they'd give. All right. Any more want to give 100? Y'all, some of y'all waiting me to come down to 50, ain't you? Where's the hand? Brother Fisher, 100. Brother John, you started something. That's what I like. Cash. You bringing some cash? Praise God. Greenbacks. We like cash. All right. Anybody want to give 50? Brother Scott York, $50. Put him down. All right. Sister Renata, bless your heart. Okay, she's receiving offerings, bringing them on the way. Okay. Thank you. All right. And somebody come get Sister Inez's money before she, you know. We don't want it to stick to her. About get a little sticky hands there on it. This check is hard to turn. It's even hard for me to turn loose. Had to kind of pull on it. All right. Yes. Ethan's going to give $25 out of his savings. All right. Somebody want to give another 25? Look there. Osmonique giving $25. Praise God. All right. Thank you, Osmonique. You and Ethan both. All right. I'm not going to get down to a dollar, you know. I mean, we ain't going that low. We could probably take 20s. You get 4 or 5 20s. Somebody wants to make up that way. All right. Well, thank you. The Lord bless you. And do we need to send? Yeah, these kids. Raise your hand if you've got your money to give today. And some of these kids will come get it. They love to get your money and bring it up here. So if you haven't, anybody who? Where? Okay. Here, bring it. He said, I'm going to keep this. That reminds me of that little boy, you know, his daddy gave him a nickel for himself, and he gave him a quarter to give in Sunday school offering. And after church, he asked him, he said, son, did you give your offering in church? He said, yes. He said, you gave them the quarter, didn't you? And he said, no, I give them the nickel. He said, I told you to give the quarter for church and keep the nickel for yourself. Here I am. Thank you. You giving $10? Where'd you get that money? All right, Osmonique. Okay. So, anyway, he just gave the quarter, the nickel. He said, why didn't you give the quarter like I told you? He said, well, the Sunday school teacher, before she took up the offering, she said that the Lord loved a cheerful giver. And he said, it's so much more cheerful for me to give the nickel than it was a quarter. So he said, somebody gave another $10. I'm getting money that hadn't even been talked about. That was you, Sister Lisa. God bless your heart. You know, Brother McGowan said you need to just keep talking. It keeps coming in. All right. Well, bless your hearts. This church has always been a giving church. God's always met our needs, helped us out. So, y'all made up the offering today to pay for the air conditioning extra, and even a little extra more on that. How much did we get? Did anybody mark it down? $3,100. So that's a great blessing, because youth meetings, we never can get enough money to pay our expenses, because young people don't have money. We take up an offering, but they just don't have money, you know, and there's not enough adults that come that has enough money, and so we're always pulling, and sometimes don't get enough. So this will be a great blessing to help us get through in our offering, and also work on the things that we need to do. I hope, you know, if the Lord will bless us, we're going to keep a building fund going to get that gym air conditioned. I would like, if y'all help us and we get it air conditioned, you know, I want us to start using the gym. I'd like for us to have some co-ed activities over there. Volleyball. I'd like to play volleyball with some of y'all and get some volleyball teams going, and even maybe a challenge for a volleyball tournament right here in our church amongst ourselves. What would be wrong with that? We could have some fun, Brother John. As soon as your pain gets out your foot, it started in his leg. I talked to him last week. He said, it's down in my foot. So he said, it may be on its way out. So I'm praying for that it's on. We get him hopping around over in the gym anyway, and get a good, nice, get everything fixed up over there better. We're working on it. We want to provide more ways for our youth, and it would also be a good method for an outreach. I know. Anyway, so I just appreciate you all so much, and we kid around. Everything I said today, I was joking about. That was, you know, maybe except for Sister Inez, I was telling the truth about that. No. Anyway, I'm looking forward to a really good youth meeting, and see what the Lord will do for the youth and the body of Christ. And I know God will. He's blessed this church over the many years. This is the Lord blesses this meeting in this area for the body of Christ. And I just feel like we were failing if we didn't keep having it for the youth. It's helped them so many years. There's young people in this body that'll carry the memories of youth, Little Rock youth meetings, to with them all through their life, what God did for them right here in a youth meeting, and how they got something extra from God that helped them continue on. And so I appreciate the songs today and Brother Talley's words on peace. I thought I might just say a few words about it. I read the scripture in Psalms 34, I think last week, where it said, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. Peace is not something that just comes automatic. You have to seek it. I'm talking about the peace of God that Sister Bryant was singing about. It had us singing, I found the peace that passes understanding. The river where the healing waters flow. Peace will heal you. Did you know that? God's peace. It does pass understanding. There's a scripture in Proverbs 12 I'll read to you. Let me read you just a few scriptures here on peace. If you'd stay with me. Let me say something else that's been on my mind lately. I've been really thinking, you know, about asking y'all to, and me included, I don't know if we ought to shut down smartphones altogether during service. You know, I know we use them to look up our Bibles, you know, scriptures. But I really think they've gone to the point that they're distracting us from focusing on spiritual things. I almost feel like, you know, that if we could go a church service and shut them down, just get off your smartphone, quit surfing the web. And I mean, I know for a fact there's a lot of things going on that has nothing to do with church on these smartphones. And I'd like for you to think about that with me, to just think about getting that thing out of your life for during church service. And really trying to be, you're here, why not receive something from God? If we're here, let me tell you something. If you're here and you want something from God, you'll get something from God. But you won't get it if you're just here. Very, very, very doubtful that, you know, I'm not saying the Lord couldn't trump you, override you, in spite of ourselves. But I just think that if we would really look for God, find something that God could feed us, give us something while we're here. I'd like for you to think about that with me. Proverbs 12. Okay. And 20. Here's a scripture. Says, deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. And you know, counselors in the Bible, it's really pastors or counselors. It's what shepherds are. The spirit of counsel comes through a pastor, a shepherd. God, to get God's counsel, it takes the ministry to get his counselor, his counsel. But then you're counselors. Once you get the counsel, you're counselors. And counselors of peace, there's joy. It brings joy. Peter said this is the joy that, how did he say it? No, didn't he say that? Passes understanding. Yeah, this joy that God brings into your life, it's what makes life worth living. You're just dwelling in death until you find God and find the things of God. And the peace that God finally gives you, you get at peace because you have faith and confidence that God is in control of your life. But deceit, now notice how he mentions this in the scripture, deceit's in the heart of them that imagine evil. And the reason it's deceit is because you deceive yourself when you don't have God's peace. You're deceiving yourself to think that you can make it in this life without God, and you can handle all your situations without him. You know, that you're in control. I mean, just tell you something. Every problem you go through in life, if you get God involved, the quicker you get him involved, the quicker you'll find solution and peace. Peace. You'll find peace in your life and peace in your situation if you can get God involved. But if you it's deceiving to think you can do this without God. I don't care who you are. It don't matter. In your marriage, if you got problems in your marriage and you keep trying to solve it, you keep trying to fix it without getting God involved, you're deceiving yourself. You ain't going to fix it. All these counselors out here in this world, psychologists and psychiatrists that's trying to help people aren't helping people. It's just a temporary patch. It's just a Band-Aid. It won't hold. But God's peace, when you really get God's peace in your life, you get a hold of God. And it takes getting on your face sometimes and petitioning the Lord to help you and really trusting and looking for Him to help and asking God for solutions. What do I need to do? And when you begin to get God in, include Him, like Brother Tally said, if you just get God included in your life every day, give Him some room. Give Him some place in your life to work. And you'll see God begin to move. And God can take a hold of situations. He can begin to do things for you in your life that you would never come up with. You'd never come up with the thought or the answer. But God can put it in your mind. And He can give you. And then the more you pursue and seek God's peace in life, the more the wisdom and understanding of righteousness He'll give you. Look in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. There's a scripture over there I want to mention while we're on this. Remember, sometimes you have to seek peace and then pursue it. Stay after it. Once you find it, hold on to it. Don't let it slip away from you. You find out how to get God's peace working in your life. There's a scripture here in Hebrews 12, verse 14, that says, all of peace. Well, let's start in the 12th verse. It says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. See, when you get God in your life, He'll start correcting, instructing. He'll start dealing with your life to help you. He says in this chapter, God chastises those who He loves. Chastisement's correction. It's help. You know, when you chastise a child, you're not just whipping a child just because he done wrong. You're trying to correct him and give him, get him headed in the right direction, him or her. And here he talks about God chastises and corrects those that He loves. And in verse 12, he says, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. He's showing that, you know, if you don't have the peace of God, you're going to be distraught. You're going to be discontented. You're going to be down and out. Your hands are going to be hanging down. Your knees are going to be weak. You're not going to feel too good about life. But he said, look, if you begin to look to God, look for His correction. Because he said, look, he don't correct you just, you know, to try to. His purpose for correcting you is for your own good, to help you. It's to benefit you, not him, but to benefit you. So he said, look, when you get God in on the situation, He begins to work, you can lift up your hands, begin to praise Him. Get your knees. Quit being down and out about this. But go ahead and stand up and let the Lord begin to work. Verse 13 said, and make straight paths for your feet. least that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it be rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. See, this peace, it's really not talking about just trying to make peace with every man for every reason, but it's talking about follow the peace of God. Follow this peace that you're receiving from God's righteousness and God's way of doing things, and apply that to all your situations in life and all men and people, relationships that you have, and holiness. Keep the sanctification. Keep that separation that God's made you His child, and that this peace of God that's working in your life, that's a sanctification. That's a holiness. It's a separation. You're separating yourself from the world when you start letting God begin to get in on your in things in your life. Then he said in verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. See, if you don't have the peace of God, if you don't learn how to get God's peace working in your life, you'll wind up with a root of bitterness. You'll be bitter about something. You'll be, you know, bitter about the way things are going. When you get down, things, you know, situations, you can't get whatever, your situation on the job, your situation in your marriage, situation in whatever relationship, it won't be going good. You get down in a negative attitude, bitterness will set in. You'll begin to get a bitterness in your heart. If you don't, you know, and this world's in trouble. This world's in a world of bitterness out here. People aren't sensitive towards one another because they're bitter. They've got a bitterness against, you know, they don't trust nobody. You can't trust anybody. You know, the shape that the world's getting in. But and this bitterness is defiled many people. So then he goes on to show how he compares that with Esau that sold his birthright. You know, we can be like that. We can get to loving things in this world so much more than we love the things of God. That's what Esau did. He wanted, you know, just what he wanted temporary more than he wanted to keep the inheritance that he had with God. And he wasn't willing to discipline himself enough to maintain his inheritance. And therefore he became bitter because he lost his inheritance. Sought it with tears, but he couldn't get it back. And you know, we've got to be diligent about our serving God. Because there's many people out here that's lost their inheritance because they put things up above God. And getting back to that scripture in Proverbs where your deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil. See, in your mind, your image of things, you're imagining the image of how you think things are to be fixed and corrected. You're deceiving yourself to think you can come up with all the answers, especially to bring real, true peace in your life. But if you really seek God, He'll begin to bring peace. I've used at times there was a peace offering under the law that you had to offer up a peace offering. And that was meat. You had to offer up a meat sacrifice. And it came right in the lower back of the animal. And it also was, that was one of the things. And also the call or the gall It was which was the part of the body that removed impurities. And that had to be burnt. But then the meat offering had to be right there at the spine, right at the base of the spine. And you know what makes us stand up is our spine. We all have a structure in the human body that our spine is what gives us the strength to stand. And there's a picture in that you have to give that to God. You've got to give God. If you want peace with God and you want His peace, then you're going to have to give Him. You're going to have to say, God, I'll give you the very thing that holds me up. I'm trusting you to hold me up. I'm not trusting myself. I give that to you. I'm not going to stand on my own any longer. I'm not going to be my own God or my own strength. But I'm looking to you. My trust is in you. And that was part of the peace offering. And then the things that cleanse the impurities of the body, those had to be offered up as sacrifices out of those animals for the peace offering. You can read about that in Leviticus. And for you to think you can purify yourself without God's help is deceitful. You're dreaming if you think you can do that. We don't have the wisdom to know how to cleanse ourselves from sin and conditions that we get involved in. And look, we're all. I remember one time my wife, I don't think she's not here. I wish you'd pray that God would make it away. She really wants to be in church, but my mother's still trying to get out of bed and tears her bed up, and we just can't leave her right now. And we're just trying to get her situated. We're asking the Lord to help us too. But I wish you'd pray, that God make it possible for her to be in church more. But back many years ago, Sister Smith and I, our relationship got kind of stale. I'm just human, so I don't mind giving you a confession. And then finally I went to her and I sat down with her and I said, look, we can't live like this. I'm not willing to live with our relationship like it is. And I said, there's some things you are going to have to change on. And she said, well, I'm glad you brought this up, because there's some things you're going to have to change on too. I said, all right. I said, let's work on it. I am a communicator. Let me tell you something. Almost every relationship that has a lot of trouble is because there is not proper communication. If you communicate with each other, you'd get along better. Now, I've had people tell me, now I communicated with my wife and it didn't work. There's different ways of saying things, I remember Brother Clyde Patton. Now, this isn't the extreme, but Brother Clyde Patton told us one time, he said, that he had this man that he told his wife, he told his wife, you're so ugly, you'd break a clock. You'd stop a clock. He said, I told him there's a better way of saying that. He said, say it this way, Brother John. Now listen to me. He said, say, honey, when I look in your face, all time stops. He said, see, you said the same thing. You just said it a different way. And it was much easier to take. She just had to go away wondering what you meant exactly. Well, now I'm just kidding, because that kind of communication won't help you too much. But a little finesse never doesn't hurt a thing. But really, we just began to talk. I said, look, I'm, You know, in other words, I didn't tell her things that I didn't think she should. You know, I mean, I didn't try to say things to hurt her or try to run her down. I just said, look, we got to work on this. And I'm willing to work on my part. And we just began to talk to each other. And we both agreed to work on it. And we asked God to help us. I said, let's pray. Let's ask God to get in on this. You know, God could help sweeten me up in some of these areas that you need me to be different in. And God can help you too. But what happens is the longer you're married, you know, you start cutting corners. You just, you know, in other words, when you first get married, you be careful about how you talk to each other. The longer you're married, you just cut the chase and just go ahead and say what, you know, let's get this said. You know, what was it? Brother Scotty, the other day, he hollered at Sister Amy and said, Amy! Said, go up there, go to the house and get the lunch, get our lunch. And me and him was working when she said that. And a few minutes, she was standing behind us. And she said, what? I looked at her and I said, he said, honey, would you please go up the house and get some lunch? She said, that ain't what he said. If he'd have said that, I'd already been after him. So, anyway, we got the point. And I said, well, he didn't say, you get your hide to the house and get us something to eat. She said, he knows better to say something like that. Anyway, so, you know, he probably would have said it tonight, like I said there, trying to help situation, if it had just got married, but he's already starting to cut the chase. So sometimes you got to rekindle the flame. You got to work on things, you know. Women are emotional, and they're more driven by emotions than they are anything else, you know. So, a little pat on the shoulder, rub their back a little bit, just when you know, for no reason. Just pat them, rub them, and say, I love you. Just want you to know it. You know, just a little affection. Go a long ways. So, anyway, I know, you know, Sister Smith, now she's smart. She started in rubbing around, rubbing her hand through my hair and patting around on me a day or two before she gets down to what she's really after sometimes. But she gets me sweetened up for it first. She ain't forgot how to do that. Women are good at that. I do sometimes. She starts really, you know, walking over to me and rubbing her hand. I said, what are you after? What do you want? What do you want? She said, I don't want nothing. I just wanted to touch you. Yeah. Well, anyway, communication is good. And to keep that flame going is important. But and these are ways of, you know, some of these things, just this ways of the human mind, how it works, but there is, just remember this, there is a peace of God that if you get that working in your life and learn how to pursue it, stay after it, just like you're on the right trail. I've found some of God's peace and I'm pursuing it. I'm staying after it. You'll find God's blessings be more in your life. And you'll find that Let's back up in Hebrews 8:11, where it says, "Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, after it yieldeth the peaceable, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." So you may be going through something, but if you seek God's chastising or His correction, His instruction, His leading, His help, His assistance, you may go through something. See, when Sister Smith and I went through that, this has been, I don't know how many years, but that's probably 20 years ago. Maybe longer. I don't remember when it was, but I do know this, we were having trouble. You know, in other words, we were snapping at one another. You know, just there wasn't any real peace between us right during that time. We weren't even, I don't guess we've ever one time even thought about, you know, separation or divorce. But every relationship has its ups and downs. You gotta get through different situations and times in it. And it wasn't pleasant while we was going through that, seeking God's correction, seeking God's adjustments. That's what correction is. It's an adjustment to your attitude, the function of what you're doing, your behavior. And it's not joyous for the time that you're going through that. Nevertheless, it yields if you seek God in it, and God helps you, and you make the proper adjustments. It yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. See, that peace is a righteous peace. It comes from righteous behavior that causes a peace to come in your life. To them that are exercised thereby. See, you've put this into practice. God gets in and begins to help you, and you begin to put it into practice. It takes God to help you to change what you're doing, your behavior, how you talk to one another, how you act. I'm not just talking about marriage. I'm talking about all relationships. I'm just using that because, you know, most all of us are married, but is. It's all relationships. There's nothing wrong with her not being married. It's not for everybody, but a person that can feel like they can serve God and don't need a spouse, then they don't need one. That's biblical. But if you need one, you need one. But I don't care who you are, you have relationships with family, friends, on the job, at church. We're all in relationship with one another, life, and God. And that's all I'm trying to get you to do is get God in on it. Get God. If you want God's peace that passes understanding, His righteous peace, that causes you to be content in life. I'll tell you, there ain't nothing like contentment that comes from the peace of God. You know, you're always going to be wanting something if you don't have God. But if you've got God, you can be content. You can be content with whatever He's gave you. Whatever God's provided, and you'll know He provided. And you just won't require more than what God's provided. Doesn't mean He's not willing to provide more, but He'll just, what you do have will be peaceful. You'll have peace with where you're at in God. Hallelujah. So, anyway, I just thought I would share those things with you. It's time for us to end our service, and then we'll have service again at 5 o'clock. Are we having band practice today? Probably not, are we? Brother Michael is out of town. He's got his job, took him out of town for the weekend. He's got a, what do you call that, a conference, yeah, or something like that. Continuing education deal or something like that that he had to go to. So that's why he's not here. And then Brother Brett and Zach are, they're making a trip that they've been planning a long time. I'm glad they're able to have some time to take off, father and son, spend together. So if you didn't get your pledged money in, get it in as soon as you can, because our meeting's coming up. And I want to thank you again, though, for appreciate the Lord moving on Brother John to help us do that today. That wasn't in the, that was just right off the front burner. That wasn't in the plans, so I appreciate that. All right, let's have a song, Sister Bryant, to go home on. So good to have Brother Mike's mother here. I've talked to her a few times on the phone, and she was here, part of this church many, many years ago, far many, many years. And she's been down in Hot Springs, and she's having some health issues, so pray for her. And but she's living with her daughter here in town, and she's been getting situated and wanted to talk to me a few times, wanting to get back here to First Gospel. And so we're so glad to have her here today. Amen. All right.
He is worthy of all praise that man can give. Oh, he who rules this world can rule this heart of mine. He who calmed the troubled sea offers peace to you and me. Oh, praise our Savior for his love.
read you this verse before I let you go. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of what? Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Hallelujah. Give him a praise. Hallelujah. What a God. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, shake hands and be friendly. 5 o'clock. Let's come back and see what the Lord will do tonight.